Good evening to you. Thank you for joining us again and tuning in. And I hope you've had a blessed day already. We're going to jump into the scriptures here tonight. Would you turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5? Galatians 5. Galatians 5. I've titled the series, What Hinders You? What Hinders You? Before we begin again, let's start with a word of prayer. And Lord, we do thank you again and praise you for another opportunity to gather around your word. We ask that you'd help us, guide us. I pray that you'd help me, Lord, especially. Fill me with your spirit. Guide me, please. And Lord, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight as we are here to listen. And Lord, we ask that you'd guide each step, each word, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Galatians chapter number 5. Who has hindered you? You recall in the book of Galatians, Paul writes this letter to a group of churches in the region of Galatia. And he's having some problems. They've had gone from the faith, and many had come in and corrupted these people and these churches. Now, in particular, notice verse number 7 of chapter 5. He says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" You should not obey the truth. The first message here in this series is the who. The who has hindered you? Now, I was thinking through this and praying about it, but there's usually a who involved, a person with a hindrance in your walk with the Lord. Not always, but often there is. I was thinking through and I thought about who was your hero as you were growing up. For some of you, it could have been an action star, or maybe it was a parent or a grandparent. It was a spiritual leader, maybe, hopefully. It was an actor or maybe something like that. I don't know. It was somebody, for me, I had a lot of action heroes that I like to watch and emulate and all of those things. And no matter who it was, though, that person had a profound impact on your life, didn't they? Profound. You emulate that person. You desire to be like them. And you think through all of that stuff as you were growing up. You wanted to be like that. You watched and waited on every word that they spoke or what they were, next movie they were coming out in, or whatever it was. Now, on the contrary, there was a person in your life that influenced you towards the wrong, put you in the wrong direction. And all of you could think of somebody like that. Maybe it was a sibling or a friend at school or somebody older than you or whatever it was. There was someone or a group of people that influenced you towards the wrong. We all had somebody who pushed us or influenced us to do wrong or even the illegal for many people. The fact of the matter is, though, that the people around us influence and change us as a person. They change us. They influence us. The people you meet are going to change you in some way. As you get older, though, as an adult, you don't change as much, but you do have the people around you have an effect upon your life. I can recall growing up and I began to hang around a fella, a young guy, and his parents didn't mind that he used some foul language. And sure enough, in order to, you know, keep up with him and fit in with the crowd, I obviously started to use some of that language. And one day at home, it sure enough, as the Lord said, out of the abundance of the heart, what the mouth speaketh. And it slipped, came out. And boy, I learned a valuable lesson that day, and I still remember it. And they sure and applied the Board of Education to my backside. And some of you chuckle and can think of instances like that as well. But what or who has hindered you? Now, Paul writes to the churches here in Galatia and asks the question, who is it? Now, chapter 3 says, who hath bewitched you? Who's hindered you? Who's bewitched you from following the truth? Every one of us ought to have a spiritual leader that is concerned with our spiritual temperature. I like that quote. Every one of us have a spiritual leader concerned with our spiritual temperature. Paul was that leader. He says, I see in you some deviation from the truth. I see you've cooled off a little bit from your fire for God. Do you have somebody there? If you do, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for a pastor or a father or a grandparent or somebody that loves you, concerned about you, prays for you individually. He's concerned or she's concerned about how you are doing spiritually. Now, it's a wonderful thing when we have those people around us. For some of you, maybe you have a spouse that is spiritual and they help you to grow. They help you to stay where you're supposed to be spiritually. it's equally sweet to have a parent or a friend helping us to grow and are concerned about our walk in the Lord. So you have that. Maybe now on the opposite, some of you don't have that. You don't have that. And again, you don't necessarily need that. You have all that you need in the Bible. You get alone with God and ask Him to show you and help you and guide you. The problem for a lot of people is that we're so busy, we have so much coming at us, and we're listening to so much media and so many things, and we're always on our phones and all those things, that we don't have any time to listen to the Lord. We don't know where our spiritual temperature is. Where's your spiritual temperature? A lot of cases, it's only you that knows that. You know that. Now, we know without a doubt that our Lord is deeply, and let me emphasize, deeply concerned about our walk with Him. He secondly is deeply concerned with who or whom we associate ourselves with day in and day out. He truly is. And you'll notice that in your own walk with the Lord. The Holy Spirit will just not, that relationship or that friendship that you had just never takes off really. That is an indicator from the Lord, obviously, the Holy Spirit working to help you to stay where you're supposed to be. Now, I want to jump into this here. As you think about the people that have influenced you, are you influencing other people towards God? Are you? You say, well, I'm not good at that. Well, you can be. Just being faithful, like we said Wednesday night, just being faithful. Boy, people see that and they watch that and they know that. Well, I wonder where Tim is tonight. Oh, yep, they're in church. They're probably in church. They know that, right? I wonder where they are. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder what they would think in this situation. Well, I know they would want us to pray about it. I know they want us to follow through. So I want you to see with me here this evening, what are some ways that this who can affect our lives? Now, they can, first of all, they can influence or what the Bible terms in chapter 3. Let's turn back chapter 3, if you will. They can bewitch us. He says, O foolish Galatians, verse 1, who hath, bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? So there can be those that bewitch us away from the truth, as he said. Now the word bewitch literally means to fascinate. To fascinate. To, as you know, bewitch. You think about that, the old show that was on many, many decades ago now. But that's what it was about. It was about the magic. It was about the fascination. It was about all these things. They bewitch us away from the truth. We always want brighter and bigger if we're not careful about that. I was talking to a guy just a little bit ago, and he said, well, you read the King James Bible? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, I just can't understand a word of that Bible. It's just, I just don't get it. And I just tried to, you know, politely say, oh, okay, I understand that, you know, but you think about that, people often want something easier, bigger, bright. Well, if I can't understand, I don't get it, then I'll just close it up. I won't follow it. Now, again, coming back to you, who has hindered you? They bewitch these ungodly people. They bewitch you. You ought to obey the truth. You have the truth. You have it in front of you. You have the truth. They hinder us, as we saw, from obeying the truth. So they bewitch us away from the truth, and they hinder us from obeying it. If you were once closer than you are now, you obviously know this. The Bible says you're backslidden. You're back far. That goes for me. That goes for all of us. You have been hindered from obeying the truth. Now, obedience with the whole context or meaning or essence of the word obey is action-oriented, right? Action-oriented. Hindered you from obeying the truth. So seeing this here, those people we ought to be cautioned about. I want to hone in on something a little bit this evening. And not to be divisive or harsh or anything like that, but there are people that you ought to separate yourself from. And it's a hard thing to do, and people won't, a lot of them understand it, but for the sake of your obedience to the truth, you need to separate yourself from them. So they can bewitch us. They can hinder us. They can hinder us. I want you to go with me here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, if you will, please. Let's go to Romans 8. And I want you to see this. As Paul writes here to those at Rome, Romans 8, and in particular, let's jump down to verse 31, a familiar portion of Scripture for many of you, I'm sure, but Romans 8, verse 31, notice they can oppose us. They can oppose us. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who, there it is again, can be against us? Who can be against us? So they can oppose us from following Christ. You know that, and I know that. There's people around us opposing us for following Christ. They want to oppose you and oppose what you're doing and oppose how you handle yourself and oppose how you conduct your family and et cetera, et cetera. If God be for us, who can be against us? There's the who again. There's the who. They can also accuse us of wrongdoing. Now notice, if you will, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. They can actually accuse us of wrongdoing. Many people across history have had to deal with that, accused of wrongdoing when they were just following Christ. I was reading again that many of the stories of the past of our dear brethren that suffered at the hands of some horrific monarchies and governments, and they served Christ. But a lot of them were brought before the magistrate or brought before the judicial system of the day. And in particular, they were asked, what do you know of the Bible? And they'd begin to quote the Bible from memory, which they weren't supposed to do. The priests and the mother church were supposed to tell them what they're supposed to believe. Well, they knew the Bible. And again, they would then begin to accuse the brethren. They'd bring accusations against them. Well, he mocked and made fun of this, and he was out publicly blaspheming this and that. And it was all false. It was just an attempt to put them ultimately under the knife or under the sword to kill. So they can accuse. You know that. Some of you dear people have had to go through things. Accusations from the world. Accusations. Accusations from these things. And we keep on going. Our goal is to keep trucking. So who's hindered you? They can oppose us. They can bewitch us. They can hinder us. They can accuse us. In fact, notice the next verse, verse 34. Who, there it is again, is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? They can condemn us. They can condemn us of evil doing or sin. Who is he that condemneth? They will condemn us to that of a heretic or a sinful person when we've not done anything wrong. You know that. Coming back here. These are just some things I wanted you to see through Scripture on what can happen. There are those out there that are trying and attempting to hinder you, accuse you of wrongdoing. What if you were accused of something? What if you were condemned by people? And again, by the way, I say this often, but if the world condemns you because you follow Christ, that's a good thing. If people around you condemn you because you have some biblical and moral standards for your family, that's a good thing, okay? Don't allow those things, oh, I wonder what they think and how they feel about me. If they're unsaved people, it doesn't matter what they think, okay? You ought to be serving Christ. Again, our goal is to please Him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. It's Christ who we're looking to. Okay, one more notice this. They can attempt to separate us from the love of God. Verse 35. Who shall separate us? You want to underline all those who's there in that text. Who shall separate us from the, notice, love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Notice these things he listed. As it is written, verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now he says, we're ready to die. As Paul said later, he'll say, I'm not only ready to be offered or to come before you and be imprisoned, I'm ready to die. But he says there will be those that attempt to separate us from the love of Christ. People say, Christ doesn't love you. God doesn't love you. How could he love you? Look at you. You're of no significance. Can't separate you. Now, people will say what they will. You can't control what people think about you in a lot of ways. You can't control what people even say about you. But as a child of God, a sold out person, committed to Christ, not living in sin, and they say stuff about you, so be it. Know something for sure. They cannot separate you from the love of Christ. They're not going to do it. They cannot do it. And Jesus says, don't fear him that can kill. Fear him that can not only kill, but afterwards has the power to cast you into hell. That's who we ought to fear. Again, coming back to who has hindered you? Who has hindered you? So we see here. Now I want to move ahead a little bit in regards to another aspect of this. And we're going to go to 2 Timothy and chapter number 3. And in 2 Timothy 3, in 2 Timothy 3, Paul is then now, he's admonishing or he's encouraging, you could say, Timothy. And what's going to be, in a lot of ways, taking place in the latter days, chapter 3 in particular. He says in verse 1, know in the latter and the last days perilous time shall come. Okay, and then he goes and he lists through a lot of characteristics of these people. But also, I want you to notice there's another person or people in what they try and do to hinder you. Notice verse number 5, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, they have a form of godliness, and we've covered this before, but they deny the power thereof. There's a lot in Christendom, quote unquote, today. They have a form of godliness. They talk a good talk. They look the right part. They say the right words, but they deny the power thereof. And again, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. But notice what he says. From such, what? Turn away. They try and water down our fire for God. I have here. They really do. They try and water you down. Yeah, don't get so hot for God. Don't get so on fire. Don't get so dedicated. Don't get so, right? Water down. What does he tell us to do? To turn away. To turn away. Now, don't start a fight. Don't start a theological argument with him. What does he say? Turn away. Get away from those, back away from those people. That's something we ought to understand. Now, coming back to this and understanding some of these things, Jesus says in one reference, he said, these people draw nigh to me, do you remember, with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. Mark chapter 7 in particular. He says, well hath Isaiah said and spoken of you people. You draw nigh to me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. You're not on my team. You're not with me. You talk a good talk, having a form of godliness, but your heart is far from me. You deny the power thereof. So, watered down message, watered down fire for God. You got to turn away. Take an inventory of your life tonight, this evening, of the people that are around you, and especially the people that you allow into your children's lives. I'm not saying just their friends, but you know, the people you allow into your home, the people you allow into whatever you do, because they will inevitably have an influence upon those kids. Be very cautious about that. And if they do not line up with this measuring tape right here, this level that we call it, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to turn away. We're going to share the gospel with them. We're going to try and share with them the love of Christ. But ultimately, if they want nothing, we're going to turn away from that. Now, let me hasten here. Number 3, there's some cautions given to avoid the who that hinders. What are they? What are they? Now, we should, number 1, have no fellowship with these hinderers, if I could say. No fellowship. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, he goes through and he speaks of that. We should have no fellowship, he says, with those folks. Notice Ephesians 5, verse 11. Ephesians 5, 11. He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, notice, reprove them. Reprove them. This does not mean become caustic and mean-spirited, but not to have fellowship with these people. This fellowship will cause unfruitfulness in our lives. Did you catch that? Unfruitful works, meaning they're works that don't produce any fruit or spiritual fruit or the fruit that God approves of, right? They're unfruitful. There are things in our lives that can cause us to become unfruitful, okay? Have no fellowship with them. Have no fellowship with these people, with these, even inanimate objects or things like that, right? That would cause us a hindrance to our walk with Him. Now, we should also, number 2, we should avoid walking with the enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17 in particular, he says there that there are some people around and other things that are enemies of the cross of Christ. Some of the biggest hindrances to our walk with the Lord can be fellow believers who were once on fire, but are burnt out or apathetic towards the faith. Burnt out or apathetic towards the faith. How many people do we know like that? That's an indictment upon us. Are we where we're supposed to be? Right? Philippians 3, verse 17. Notice Philippians 3, 17. Brethren, speaking to believers, be followers together of me and mark them. Now, that doesn't mean physically mark them, okay? Don't lay your hands on people. Which walk so as ye have us for an ensample, okay? Verse 18. For many walk, here's a parenthetical statement, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul says, I thought I led that guy to the Lord. I tried to help them in the faith, but now, weeping, sadly, I have to say, they're enemies. They become enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You want to underline that. They mind earthly things. They're concerned about the earth. They're concerned about what's going on right now in the world by way of fashion and what's in vogue and what does the world think and how should we appease the world. They mind earthly things. We should avoid walking. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. They're hindering your growth. They're hindering your walk. Number 3 or 4, we should avoid those that walk disorderly of the tradition that we have received. Tradition that we have received. Now, again, we're just walking through the New Testament looking at what is Paul in particular saying about this hindrance, those that hinder. You'd be amazed at how often Paul states this and encourages his children in the faith to avoid people and to be careful and cautious about those that would hinder. 2 Thessalonians 3, in particular, he says, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw, there it is again, yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Notice that. You're to withdraw yourself. Then he says a brother. That's fellow believers. Fellow believers, okay, that walk disorderly. They're walking disorderly. They are causing a bad name towards Christ or on Christ. They are giving a bad testimony. I just recently saw some things there in the news about some fellow believers we could call brothers and sisters. But they were doing and saying things that are just disorderly. It's in a lot of ways just out of control. And it causes a bad name and testimony. Now we ought to fight. You know that. We ought to stand for the truth and for the Bible. But there's certain limits there. People go outside of the scriptures to do things. We ought to be careful. He says, avoid. Notice that. Withdraw yourselves. Don't wait for them to withdraw. You withdraw. By the way, again, those people in your life, usually they'll leave you before you leave them in a friendship relationship. When you're truly living for Christ and walking for God and your walk is authentic and legit and real, they're going to withdraw themselves. You don't got to go, well, the Bible says I got to withdraw myself, so you need to go ahead and go now. You know, no, they'll go ahead and withdraw. They're going to go, gee, man, boy, Tim, he's a fuddy-duddy. Man, hey, he's real fanatical about that stuff. And boy, he's got a lot of standards and rules, and I don't think we ought to follow that. You'll see it, right? You'll understand. And God has a wonderful, gracious way to bring godly friends and godly people into your life that are of the same mindset. So avoid them walking disorderly after the tradition which we have received. By the way, the scriptures, it's laid out for us, what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to believe. Okay, let me say next, we should avoid those that consent not to the words of Jesus and the doctrine. Now this one I really want to focus on. He says avoid them. Now let's go to 1 Timothy 6. As we're just kind of walking through the New Testament here and looking at what Paul has to say. 1 Timothy 6. Now notice what he says, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. Well, what does that mean? Notice he describes it. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Notice this, supposing the gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. There he is again. We should avoid those that consent not to the words of Jesus and the doctrine of Jesus. Okay? Now, in 2 John, you know, he describes and says, if any come in, and what? Don't give the doctrine, don't preach the truth, excuse me, have nothing to do with them. Don't even, he said, wish him Godspeed. Don't allow him into your house. Now avoid them that consent not to the words of Jesus. I heard one lady say a while back, well, as long as we all love Jesus, that'll be okay. We'll all just get together. No, ma'am, I'm sorry. Why? Because of the doctrine. The doctrine is of utmost importance. And Paul says, if they consent not to that, and again, just open up the Bible or just start talking about the Bible for 2 seconds. You will show them you're consenting to Jesus' words. You're consenting to the doctrine. They're going to say, whoa, whoa, What are you talking about? What's that about? So that's just the Bible. That's just the Bible. He says, avoid them. Avoid them. And he says, withdraw. Supposing, verse 5, gain is godliness. Got all this nice stuff. Oh, it must be godly. Boy, God must be really blessing their life. They got a big bank account and a nice house and all these. No, not necessarily, right? We don't look at that. We don't think that gain is godliness. If God were to ask us tomorrow to get rid of everything we have and follow Him and go to another place, I pray that most of us would say, Lord, yes, I will. I will. I'll do what you want me to do. Gain is godliness. He says, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You need to understand and know that. We've covered some of that too. He goes through in this chapter 6 of 1 Timothy and describes in particular, as you know, that of money, love of money, those things of that nature. So avoid those that consent not to the words of Jesus Christ. A lot of people will talk a good talk, but when it comes down to the words of Christ and the doctrine, they'll deviate from that. They'll not follow through. And we have many verses on that we won't cover, but you know that. Number next, we should avoid the non-fruit-bearing false professors. Non-fruit-bearing. Okay, let's turn over to the book of Titus. We keep walking through the Bible here, through the New Testament, scripture on scripture, here a little, there a little, right? Precept upon precept. Scripture will speak for scripture. You know that. So Titus 1, notice verse 16. He says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Every good work. They profess that they know God. We should avoid the non-fruit-bearing false professors of this world. Jesus said, by the fruits you shall know them, right? By the way of the wolves and the sheep, and sing all these things. Ye shall know them. Ye shall know them. Now, they're non-fruit-bearing. They profess they know God, and works they deny Him. They're works. Usually, a faithful man or woman that truly loves God and serves Christ and is faithful and true, they don't have to tell you how good they are. They don't have to tell you how spiritual they are. They don't have to tell you how spiritual their family is. Why? They don't talk about it. They live it. They show you. Okay? And they bear the fruit. They say, well, how spiritual are you? And you just pull back the curtain and show them the fruit, right? You don't have to talk about it. You show them by your works. But these people, he says, they say they know God. Their works, they deny Him. They deny Him. So many today, and we won't go into all of that. So we understand that. 1 John chapter 2. And 1 John 2, we're almost done here. But as we're going through the scriptures, you're going to see with me here, I think it's 1 John 2. Let me get over there. Right, 1 John 2. And notice verse 3, hereby we do know that we know Him, if we what? Keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not, meaning lives it, keeps it, exemplifies it, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The truth is not in him. So those non-fruit-bearing people, regarded to that. A couple more and we'll be done for this evening. Notice we should then avoid those that think it strange that we don't partake in sinful behavior. 1 Peter 4, verse 4, wherein they think it strange, ye run not with them. Notice to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. Speaking evil. They run and they're riotous. Loud. It's always loud. You've been around that? It's just loud. The music's loud. Everything's riotous. It's all these things. They think it's strange you don't run with them. How come you're not running with us? How come you're not hanging out with us? You're weird. You're strange. Well, good. And when the world mocks you, makes fun of you, and pokes fun at your kids and your marriage and all those things, good. Let them. Because you know you're living for Christ and living for God, okay? And their day is coming too. We should avoid those that think it's strange. Unsaved people think you're strange, good. You know what I mean. They think it weird the way that you live your life. You're not coming out Friday for that party? You're not gonna, you're doing this and that? No, we're gonna follow the scriptures. We know that. We see here the things here. Again, as we mentioned a while back, that Christ says, I want you to yoke up with me, Matthew 11. I want you to yoke up. Follow me. Follow me. Go step for step with Christ. It will always be unequal when we yoke up with the world. And Jesus calls us to his yoke, which he describes, as you know, as easy. The world wants you to yoke up, and it's always unfair. They say, you do all the work, and we'll tag along. We'll tag along. You put forth all the effort. No, Jesus said, I'm step for step with you. I'm here to help and love you and care for you and lift you up. And God knows every burden you're bearing right now. He knows every thought you're thinking. He knows everything you're going through. Even your own spouse may not know some of that, your kids, and all the hard work you put in and all the effort you do and how you wake up early, put in your time at work and all that you're doing for those people. They may not recognize. No, God knows that, right? God knows that. God's taking care of you. He's step for step with you. Are you yoked up with him? So coming back now, as we wrap it up, what or who has hindered you? Who's hindering you? We ought to avoid. Did you see we walked through the scriptures this evening of seeing what Paul says? Be cautious and careful about who you allow into your life by way of that. Don't be, you know, introverted and standoffish with everybody, as you know, but we are to be very cautious and careful. Don't allow those things. They think it's strange, right? They speak great things with their words, but with their heart, they're far from him. As you know, in 2 Corinthians 6, again, he talks about that separation that we ought to have. Separation. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except what? They be agreed? Except they be agreed? Are they agreeable with you? Are they agreeable? Who has hindered you tonight? Who is it? Take some inventory. I'd pray you would this evening. Ask God as we conclude here and you close your Bible. Take some time with him. Say, Lord, who is it or what is it in my life that would be hindrance to my spiritual walk and growth with you, Lord? Because I want to please you and I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be right with you, Lord, in every aspect of my life. I hope that was a blessing and a help to you this evening. And I hope you have a good week this week. Lord willing, we'll see you back on Wednesday evening. Stay in your Bibles, stay in your prayer closet, and hopefully we'll see you soon, my friends. All right, let's end with a word of prayer. Lord, we again thank you. Praise you for all that you're doing and all that you've done. We ask that you'd help us as we, Lord, live our lives. Give us strength. There's many people, many imposters, many naysayers, many hindrances, Lord, that want to come in and throw us off track, Lord. But we don't have to be thrown off. We trust you and love you and thank you for the Bible. Give us the strength through the Holy Spirit. And we praise and love and thank you in Jesus' name again. Amen. God bless.